have your Bibles today, we're interested in the book of John, chapter 3. We've been thinking about love, a new series on love. And today, we want to preach on this thought out of John 3, 16. For God so loved. For God so loved. I'll ask you to stand to your feet as we read one verse of Scripture today, John 3, 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. I want to preach on this thought, "For God so loved." Let's pray. Father, would you help us this morning to preach the word of God? Father, today we want to make much of Jesus. But Father, we are weak, feeble, inept, unable, unworthy, and I could go on. But Father, you're the one that saved us. You're the one that called us. Father, you're the one that gave us the message. Lord, would you help us then to preach in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God? Would you help the hearer today to receive the engrafted word and to be encouraged, to be challenged, Lord? I ask and pray. In Jesus' name we ask these favors. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There was a gym lover that walked through the local gym and mineral show when he noticed a dark stone about the size of a potato that was laying in a bin. And he looked it over and he asked, "You say you want $15 for this?" And the seller said, "Well, I do realize it's not as pretty as the others, so I'll sell it to you for $10 today." So the gym lover purchased the stone. And shortly he had it certified as a 1905 carat natural star sapphire, 800 carats bigger than any other stone of its kind, and it was appraised for $2.28 million. You see, it took a lover of stones to recognize that sapphire's worth, and it took the lover of souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize the value of us undeserving, unworthy, darkened sinners such as we are. You see, here in John 3:16, there are 25 words. If you get in math class, you'll know that the middle or the median of this verse is the 13th word. The 13th word is the word son. It's all about him. If you look, it begins with God, as everything should. For God so loved. It is the crown jewel of all the treasures of Scripture. This verse glorifies God, it exalts our Savior, it evangelizes the sinner, and it equips and edifies the saints. Tim Tebow, how many of y'all know who Tim Tebow is? Tim Tebow, the football player. Somebody said there's a football game, Preacher Darren. He put John 3:16 on his eye patch, under his eye, and it was Googled 94 million times. He said, "I didn't know that 94 million people needed to know what John 3:16 said, but God told me to put that under my eye." I believe it was 3 years later, he wore that eye patch again and he played in the playoffs, and one of his representatives from his team came up and said, "This is incredible." He said, "What? Not being Googled 94 million times?" He said, "No, you passed for 316 yards today. Your average completion was 31.6 yards per pass. Your average rush was 3.16 yards. Our time of possession was 31.06, but it's still 316. Those are incredible things that only God could ordain and be a part of. Sometimes we just think everybody knows John 3:16 preach something different. A little girl came to the Sunday school class and she was visiting that day with her friend, and the teacher kept referring to Jesus. And finally, the little friend raised her hand and said, "Ma'am, can I interrupt you long enough to ask, just who is Jesus that you keep talking about?" Hey, man, we need to think about the Lord God Almighty sending His Son for each and every one of us. For God so loved the world. Sometimes we need to get back to the basics. Vince Lombardi, for whom the Super Bowl trophy is named for, his football team, the Packers, had won another title to start the new season with a very experienced team. He said, "Fellas, today we start with the basics, and this is what we're going to do." He had everybody kneel down, and he took the ball, and he rolled the football out in front of them. He said, "This is a football," as if they didn't know. Hey, for God so loved the world. Hey, man, number one, I want us to think about this. What is the reason for God's love? What is the reason for God's love? Look with me in verse 16. For God. The word "for" in the Greek is the Greek word gar, G-A-R. It is a term of explanation. It assigns a reason. It is intent on sharing with you God's motive for love. The word God, it is the word ho. Theos. It literally means the God. This verse, as all things should, begins with God. It does not begin with a man. It begins with God. The God. The God of the Bible. Creator God. Almighty God. God the Father. The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God who told Abraham that through him he would bless all nations. The God who told Moses, "I am that I am." The God that told Israel to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the house, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The God who promised in Isaiah 53 that one day the Messiah would come, who would bear the sins of the whole world in his body. The God who said about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." The God who raised his Son Jesus Christ up from the dead, up from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The Bible is not just speaking about any God. This is the God. There is just one. Say amen. The one God, the triune God, existing eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The God who is eternal. The God who is holy. The God who is sovereign. The God who is omnipotent. The God who is omniscient. The God who is omnipresent. Why does the God of all glory love us? What did we do to merit the love of God? What is the reason God loves us? What did God see in us to cause him to love us? Have an answer. Nothing. Now I want you husbands to think with me for just a second. Tomorrow is February the 14th. That has a significant meaning. Valentine's Day. It's a day that represents love, right? I have an anniversary coming up in about a week. I think about love. So I asked my wife, because here's the tendency that we have. We tend to make everything about us. You may say, "Preacher Darren, we don't do that." Case in point. Gina, what was it when we met about me that caused you to fall in love with me? Was it my smile? Was it my eyes? Was it my personality? Was it my charm? He needs to help me right here, Brother Jerry, because I'm really nervous what her answer is going to be. And she said, well, it was a lot of things. And I thought, thank the Lord. What if she had said nothing? Go, ladies, to your husband and say, what was it about me that caused you to fall in love with me? And just imagine that his answer to you is nothing. How does that make you feel? Well, I feel like it ought to be something. Here's your problem. You think it's all about you. You think it's something you have, something you do, something you can ascribe to, something you can merit. Honey, the love of God is not about you, and it's not about me. It doesn't have to be maintained by me. God loves me, and I did nothing to deserve the merit of the love of Almighty God. Well, Preacher Darren, I don't really think that's important. Well, he loves us unconditionally. Think about that. Sometimes people love you if you meet certain requirements, if you meet certain expectations. I can tell you right now of homes that fell apart because a husband or a wife didn't meet expectations. And all of a sudden they fell out of love. Why? Because it wasn't unconditional. Right? Well, Preacher Darren, it just can't be unconditional. But I'm telling you, God's love, the sovereign love of God, is unconditional. It's not about meeting expectations. What happens if someone you love doesn't meet expectations? Oh, I just forgive them. Wait a minute. Are you sure about that? Think about it. If you really love them, well, God loves me when I'm right, and God loves me when I'm wrong. You may not, but God does. God loves me when I'm in. God loves me when I'm out. God loves me when I'm up. God loves me when I'm down. Some of you girls, y'all ever had them little flowers and you pluck the petal? He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Why? Because it's conditional. Because it's about you doing something to earn or to win his love. You doing something to keep and to maintain his love. And some of you would get that little flower and you'd cheat and you'd pull off two at a time to make it come out to where it says, he loves me. But I have news for you today. God says to you, he loves me. 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 He loves me no matter what. What is the reason? Here's why. The Bible says, for God is love. He loves me because he is love. Oh, glory to God. That is so deep. His love is not based on who I am. His love is not based on what I do. His love is based on who he is. That ought to be more than enough. Jesus said, a new commandment have I given unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're to love as God loves. We don't, but we're supposed to. So number one, the reason for God's love is because he is love. Number two, what is the revelation of God's love? You can see it here in this verse. For God so, that's a big word, two letters. He so loved. He didn't just, for God loved. He says he so loved. That is a degree of love. What is the revelation of his love? The word so is a word houtos. It means in this manner. It is to be revealed. His love is universal. He loved the world. He didn't just love one or two. He didn't just love the Jews. He didn't just love the white, the black, the red. He loved the world. His love is universal. His love is unknown. Preacher Darren, I know his love. Really? Fully? All the way? Everything you need to know about it? My Bible says to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. I want to read out of Romans chapter 8. His love is unbroken. Romans chapter 8. Read with me. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is unending. Jeremiah says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. His love is unrivaled. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. In the Bible, Jesus tells us about a father who had two sons. One we come to know as the prodigal, the other as the elder brother. Both those boys had issues. He loved them both. Amen. And I'm telling you today, when you look in the mirror at yourself, you have issues. And he loves you no matter your issue. For God so loved. Now, Preacher Darren, we're talking about the revelation of his love. What does that mean? How do we know that God loves us? Jesus was in a boat with his disciples, and he laid down on the back of the ship, and he went to sleep, and a storm blew up. So much so that the disciples, doing all they knew to do, they had to wake him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They thought he's just going to let them go under. They thought he didn't care about them. They thought he didn't love them. And they woke him up, and he rebuked the wind, and he rebuked the waves. Now, think about it for a second. Have you ever been in a storm? I mean, a real, bona fide, genuine, life-threatening storm. And has your storm ever whispered to you, God doesn't love you? Because if God loves you, you wouldn't be in this storm. God doesn't care. If he cared for you, you wouldn't be going through this. Have you ever felt like there's no need to pray because you didn't think God cared enough to even hear you? Have you ever faced sickness and tragedy so much so that Satan comes and says, if God really loves you, this sickness, this tragedy, this storm would have never happened? Here's our problem. Are you listening? We look for love in the wrong places. You cannot always see the love of God in your possessions. Well, based on what I have, my car's paid off. God loves me. I wrecked my car. God doesn't love me. No, no, no. If you lose every possession you have, God loves you as much then as he did before. You can't always see the love of God in your health. Well, I'm sick. God doesn't love me. I've got this issue. God doesn't love me. No, it doesn't work like that. Let's go ask Job. Job, when you lost all your possessions, when you were bankrupt. Job, when you were bereaved of all 10 of your children. Job, when you had boils all over your body. Job, when your wife said, cuss God and die. Job, when your buddies said you're wrong in this and this and this. Did God still love you? Oh, yes. God loved me no matter what. God loves you no matter what your health condition is. God loves you. Oh, glory to God, I feel that going through. God loves you no matter what your financial status is. God loves you no matter whether you have a house that you own or that you rent. God loves you no matter how much property you have or don't have. God loves you the same. He cannot love you more than he did yesterday, and he didn't love you less yesterday than he does today. God loves you no matter what. When you're suffering, sometimes you think God doesn't care about you. And just like the disciples, you say, Master, carest thou not that we not only loves you, but he so loves you. If you want to know the revelation of God's love, look at the cross. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't tell me God doesn't love me. Don't tell me God doesn't care when I go through a storm, when I have sorrow, when I have suffering. Hey, honey, he's done enough, and he proved his love when he sent his son to die on Calvary. Number three, and I'll be done. It's not in John 3:16, but I've got to follow it up. There is the response to God's love. The response to God's love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. His love is love in action. Our love is love in reaction. Our love for him is a response to his love for us. Now listen closely. Listen very closely. Our obedience, our level of devotion and dedication is the result of our love of God. Jesus, I want you to see this. John 14:21. Look what Jesus said in this verse. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Wow. Our level of dedication and devotion is based on our love of God. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. I'll make it 24. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So our dedication, our devotion is a result, a response of our love for God. Well, hear me for a second. Let's take that further. Do you know why in the world today we are so short-tempered with each other? Do you know why we turn on each other so fast? You wonder why? It's because we are lacking in our love for God. If our love of God is lacking, then our response of obedience and our response of love for others is lacking. 1 John chapter 4. We have Bible 101. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Our superintendent read today before services began, as we went to Sunday school, he read out of Matthew, we're supposed to love our enemies. Am I right, brother? I have a question for you, church. How are you going to love your enemies when you can't even love your brother or your sister? I love them, I just don't like them. How are you going to love your enemy when you don't even love your spouse? Y'all got married, and you don't even love each other. Listen, as a congregation, you don't even love each other. How are you going to be successful loving your enemies? How are you going to be successful if you don't love one another, if you don't love brother or sister, if you don't even love your spouse, if you don't love your parents, if you don't love your children, if you don't love your pastor, if you don't love your fellow congregants in the church? Something's wrong. And the lack of love that you have is based on the lack of love you have for God. Truth's the truth. And your level of dedication and your walk with God is your response to God's love. Now, as I just began to set and reason this out, if this, then this, if this, then this, I begin to think about what Jesus said to Simon Peter. He said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? The word lovest is agapeo, unconditional. Do you love me unconditional? Simon Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But he changed the word to phileo. I don't love you unconditionally. I love you as a friend. Jesus said, I want you to feed my lambs. In other words, what are you doing here? You need to be back feeding the people of God. He said a second time, he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Again, agapeo. Simon Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, phileo. You know, a friendly kind of a love, like you love hamburgers and you love hot dogs. And you love Ford or you love Chevrolet, right? You love baseball. That's what he's saying. Third time, Jesus said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? He said, do you love me, phileo? Do you love me with a friendly love? This third time, Simon Peter was grieved. He was upset. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I'm asking you, Bethel, do you love God? Do you love the Lord? Can we say we love him unconditionally? I love him as a friend. I love him if he blesses me with possessions. I love him if he blesses me with health. Honey, he loves you if you have possessions or not. He loves you if you have health or not. He loves you no matter what. He loves you when you did wrong. Thank God. He loves you when you did right. He loves you when you said what you said. He loves you no matter what. The desire of my heart this morning is, I love him, but I can love him more. Since our love, will you hear me? Hear me. Since our love is a response to God's love, the only way I can love him more is to have a greater understanding and a greater perception of his love for me. Let me say that again. If my love is a response to his love, if I want to love him more, if my devotion, my dedication needs to be more than it is right now, then I have to have a greater or a better understanding of his love than I have presently. That's why we need to preach this verse. That's why we need to preach this book. That's why we need to learn to practice love. You see, the more we understand just how much he loves us, the more our love responds to his love. The deeper our level of dedication, the deeper our devotion, the more we love our fellow man, the more we love one another. Now, come here, I want to tell you something. But what if Satan could convince us that God doesn't care about us? What if Satan could whisper to us and get us to think that God doesn't love us because we didn't do such and such right, and God doesn't love us anymore? What if Satan could convince us of that? What if our flesh could convince us that God's love for us is conditional? Will you hear me? Then my devotion would be small, and my dedication will be small, and my love for my fellow man will be small. And the only way it can increase is if I understand better the love of God. I want to tell you something, church. It's very important that we realize just how much God loves us. A man came to revival, and he stood, he walked to the front. Been a great week. Many people have been saved. He walked to the front and he said to the preacher, he said, preacher, I haven't felt God in so long, and I need to feel him moving in my heart and my soul and my life. And I know I'm saved, but what can I do to feel and to know that God loves me? Maybe you're there today. And the pastor, I'll never forget, the pastor said, why don't you pray three times a day, starting in the morning and at lunch and evening, and dedicated to pray. He said, I'll do it. And he came back. The revival continued on. He came every night. And he came back on the last night. He said, I've prayed three times a day, and I don't feel any different than I did before. And the devil told me this afternoon that there's no use that God didn't love me anymore. And he said, but I've been determined that if God doesn't breathe through my soul ever again, if God never answers another prayer request, if God never does another thing for me, he's already done. Amen. More than enough. Amen. At about that time, the Holy Ghost began to move in that place. And he took off a running and a shouting, and the people got, I'm telling you, excited over the love of God. I'm not suggesting you do this, but I did it yesterday. I grabbed my wife by the hand, and I said, I love you. She looked at me, and she said, I love you too. And the reason I told her I loved her was not just that I loved her, but I wanted to hear back her response. And so I told her I loved her so I could hear back. And God has told us, I love you. What if when I said I love you, there was no response? Just a look and a turn and a walk away. It would have crushed me. And I just longed to hear. My children, they hug me. I love you, Dad. They could never tell me I love you enough. Preacher, I'll never get tired of hearing my children tell me they love me. I'll never get tired of hearing my wife say, I love you. I'll never get tired of hearing the people in this church say, I love you. But when it is said from God, how do we respond to his love? Do we say, he knows I love him? I'm telling you, there's some people today, your devotion and your dedication has become small, because you've lost the appreciation of just how much God loves you. You've let the devil and society convince you that God doesn't love you or that he doesn't care like he used to. Honey, he so loves you that he gave his only begotten son. And today he's telling you afresh, boy, you go down there and tell my people, I love them. And the reason he does is he's expecting, he's desiring a response from you. You stand to your feet. Maybe you're home right now, and the devil's trying to play tricks with your mind, and he's trying to deceive you. Why don't you just take the time right now to say, God, I know times are bad, but I want you to know that I love you. And I want to thank you that you first loved me, and I want to take the time to render my heart and to bow myself before you and say, Lord, I want to thank you for loving me. Father, this morning, how I praise you and how I honor you and how I thank you. 25 words written in red, and it's all about one who had laid down his life, the Son of God, innocent, pure, harmless, and holy, taking the place of a sinner like me. And he did so because he loves me. And Lord, I want to praise you today. And I want to honor you.
And as you have said every day, o'er and o'er again, I love you, I love you, I love you. God, may today you hear me when I say, I love you, and I want to love you more. God, may your hand be upon your people. Touch us, God. Deepen our devotion. Deepen our walk with you. Deepen our love one for another. Help us, God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.